Hello.
Hi, this is Dante Pyle. I'm a volunteer with a group called Sunken Valley Citizens Assembled. Do you have a few minutes to talk about the upcoming mayoral election?
I have a few minutes.
Great. Let me ask you this. How likely are you to vote for Mayor Woods? Very likely or super likely?
Well, actually not likely at all.
I'm sorry, there must have been a weird phone connection. It sounded like you said not likely at all.
I did say that.
Okay, sorry about that. Is the man of the house home, darling?
I am the man of the house.
Oh, okay. And what's your deal?
I'm just not a supporter of the current mayor.
And why the heck not?
Well, Mayor Woods has got a lot of policies that I don't like.
Name one.
Okay, I find his annual mayor's brawl pretty terrible.
Are you telling me you don't like the once-a-year no-holds-barred downtown mega fight?
I don't. I make sure I'm always out of town that weekend. It's the worst. Plus, he's done nothing about the packs of coyotes that roam our street.
Oh, he's getting to it.
When?
Jeez, man, lighten up.
Okay, also, I'm pretty upset at all the money he spent turning that art museum into a skate park.
His stepson, Steven, is huge into skating, man. Cut a bro some slack.
No, I will not cut him some slack.
Tell you what. I know it'll put a smile on your face. 2 tickets to the mayor's Alzheimer charity event.
Yeah, no thank you, but I do appreciate that the mayor is doing some charity work.
Come on, it'll be a hot time.
What? How will an Alzheimer's benefit be a hot time?
It's a hot bod competition. The city's foggiest geezers will rate the lap dances of some of the city's most smoking hot at-risk youth.
Wow. Okay, that is a new low. Yeah, okay, so there's no way in hell I'm voting for him now.
Oh, really? Why don't you look out your window?
Oh, are you outside my window now? Is that what you're saying? You creep.
I was.
All right, I'm looking. Is there something I'm supposed to be seeing?
Why don't you check the tires on your car?
Okay, I'm looking at... Wait, are all my tires flat? Did you do something to the tires on my car?
Whoops.
All right, I'm calling the cops.
If you call the cops, I'm going to slash more than just your tires.
Oh, my God.
Vote Woods!
This is the Mascot Wedding Show, the internet's hour of unspeakable power. My name is David Hotta.
My name is Mac Blake. This is episode 284, The Legend of...
The Mysterious Numbers.
It's two inside, David.
No, it's not. It sounds like a really cool story.
Oh, man. If only you knew how inside that was, listeners.
Yeah, you'll never know, you fucking idiots.
We are your podcast lions. And we're recording here in Austin, Texas at the Hodgecast Studios. I'm sorry, let's say Hodge Pound or something.
No, they got a Hodge Wolf out there.
Oh, that was a wolf?
Yeah.
That didn't... Okay.
Look, all of my animals sound the same.
How's your career as a Foley artist going?
Not so good.
Yeah, I didn't think so.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I hate to rub salt in your wounds.
Well, because I keep getting attacked by birds in the studio. See, there's one right now.
I wouldn't... Now, give me a sound of salt being rubbed in wounds. Oh, that hurts.
That's it does. See?
That was too real. Get out of my head, salt.
A quick sidebar. I was watching a movie last night. It was Innocent Blood, which is a John Landis movie. And he used the same sound effect for someone, like, for a vampire attacking someone that he's used in, like, a Twilight Zone the movie when they pull off to the side of the road and he just goes, wow! And it's still effective to this day. I still love that sound effect. I don't know. This is sound effect talk, guys.
Oh, cool story. Cheers.
Nope.
David Hotta, how are you doing?
I'm doing great, Mac. I'm glad to be back. It's been... too goddamn long.
Yes, we got busy with stuff. David and myself were part of a sketch comedy group called Stag Comedy.
Yeah.
We had a Halloween show that we did in 3 cities.
Uh-huh.
And we also were part of a Master Pancake Theater show.
Yeah.
That we also did in 3 cities.
That's also true, so, yeah.
Yeah, keeping it busy, but I'm glad to be back here. And I'm also glad to welcome our guest for today. He is a fabulous stand-up comedian that is from St. Louis, and he's been in Austin now for about 2 years.
Yep.
He's also the host of the Stay Wonderful podcast. Excuse me. The Cap City Comedy Club presents Stay Wonderful podcast. Happy to have him in the studio, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Aaron Brooks.
Yay.
Hi.
How are you doing, dude?
Doing all right. How are you guys?
Yeah. I'm doing great.
Glad to have you on the show.
Yeah. It's a pleasure to be here.
Oh, well, good. I'm glad.
A real pleasure.
I'm actually doing, it is an exciting day for me, but I'll get about that later in the show. So, Aaron Brooks.
Yep.
First of all, do you have a middle name?
Aaron is my middle name.
Whoa.
The mystery of the first name.
Man, already is like current affair style, just busting.
Aaron
exclusives.
Aaron Brooks.
Wow.
Yeah, real weird.
Name so nice, I named you twice.
Mm-hmm.
All right, now quit the shit. What's your first name?
Daniel is my first
name. Is it really?
Name. Named after that Elton John jam.
Oh.
Yeah.
So you could have been Levon, though.
Levon Aaron?
Yeah. Levon Aaron Brooks.
That sounds like a black guy.
You can. Sure, you could say that.
Right.
Is that which Aaron are we going to get today?
We're going to get that.
We're going to get the honest Aaron or the one that...
I don't know, Aaron. We might lose our sponsorship from blacks. I don't know.
Pretends to be a monster.
No, I'm a good human being.
You've talked about your dad a lot on stage.
I do.
He seems like the kind of guy that would be like, Daniel, can't believe I'm named after a song by that queer.
Yeah. My dad is not a fan of alternative white styles.
White styles.
Yes. I was thinking ahead. Alternative to white.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Music classic.
Yeah.
Alternative white styles. I actually love that.
Yes.
There was something recently where I was like, this is what so-and-so looks like. And if I filled in the blank, I'd be branded as a hate monger. But my reaction was like, how does this affect me? It does not.
Yeah.
Is anyone discriminating against you? I don't think they are. I think you just, when you fill out a form, you get mad.
Yeah.
So how did that bigot of a dad get tricked into naming you Daniel then?
I don't know, my mom.
Well, when did Elton John come out?
Like with his first record?
No. Of the closet.
What?
I know, David.
No, I don't know. I don't think he ever actually officially came out. I think it was just kind of one of those like, hey, I've been here for 20 years. You guys have figured this out.
You guys know.
Well, yeah.
Like when someone has Nathan Lane, he's like, admit you're gay, Nathan. And he's like, nah, you, why?
Yeah.
I have with everything I've ever done.
Yeah.
Mystery solved, everybody.
Yeah. Anyway. Wow, now here we go. This is some good hate monger talk.
Yeah, we're not even 5 minutes in.
Win that fruit out himself. As I take a sip of delicious fruit punch.
So by proxy, are you an Elton John fan?
Not any more than the next guy. I mean,
okay,
you know,
that's cool.
I'm not going to deny. I like the Lion King soundtrack.
Oh, sure.
Why, out of everything you could have chosen,
yeah,
I want the Lion King that soundtrack.
Is... I mean, what else did he do?
Oh, I don't know. Oh, I said that weird. No, I don't know. It sounded like I was
okay.
I think there was a little bit of that going around.
Yeah, there's a little juice mouth.
Yeah, a little juice mouth. Chew an apple next time. That's a bit of podcasting advice because we used to be radio men.
Mm-hmm.
And the apple peel gets the acid out of your mouth. Or it,
I went to school for radio.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. So you already knew that?
No, I went to a shitty school for radio. I went to school for radio that is, I just found out it's closed.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
What school did you go to?
The Broadcast Center of St. Louis.
Oh,
yeah.
The BCSL.
Yeah, well, just BC, really. The, you know.
Jesus Christ, couldn't afford the other half.
No, they weren't really proud. Would you be proud? Have you seen that shit all over the city lately?
No.
Lately. David checks in every so often. Just,
yeah. Hey, St. Louis.
How you doing, St. Louis?
I've got a Google alert for St. Louis.
Yeah, it's not a good place right now.
Tap my morning. So you left there a couple years ago?
About 2.5 years or
yeah.
so.
Yeah. So with everything, and I don't want to get like political or deep or heavy or anything, yeah. But like... Have you decided to like, oh, I'm no longer a St. Louisan, or is that always going to be a part of you?
And it's always there. It's yeah. your hometown. I mean, you're from San Antonio. Where are you from? Are
Houston,
you from
San Antonio.
So, yeah, I mean, that's, you know.
Oh, I got rid of it a long
really?
Time.
No, fuck. I mean, yeah, I think you always self-identify with
yeah.
where you're from originally.
I think it's always a better place to be from than to be. It's kind of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Aaron, how would you describe your stand-up style?
Storytelling, very, very, probably too personal.
That's kind of what I wanted to talk about, and it's weird because it's like it's weird just to dive right into this, but let's do it.
Yeah.
You are a very honest
yeah.
individual.
Yeah.
And I feel like the communication I get from you is very honest, and I don't mean that just like on stage. And I say this to you, and I don't want this to go to your head, buddy, okay?
Okay.
You gotta, because the weird thing is it's like, it's so easy to lie to yourself or deceive yourself, because mm-hmm. all you gotta do is just not think about something.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, I got this problem. It's like, well, if I turn on the radio, then that problem goes away.
Sure.
But on stage, you know, and I listened to an episode of Staying Wonderful today. You're talking to Julie Rossi.
Yeah.
It was a great show, or great ep. And you're very just, you know, open and talking about your problems and stuff with her. And in St. Louis, like, you have this very funny story about writing like a fake note.
Yeah.
I don't want to ruin your bit, but like, And you said that, like, you know, you never told anyone back home that that was fake, but you got to Austin and you're like talking about it on stage. Do you feel like the move, the fact that you got to Austin and that you're kind of like an unknown entity, do you feel like that helped in your sort of honest living?
You know, I was, even when I was in St. Louis, I was always unafraid to talk about anything.
Mm-hmm.
I was never somebody who felt the need to hide stuff out of fear of being judged. But being here, like, because when I moved out of my mom's house into an apartment, like, for the first time. This was, like, the first big move where, oh, there's a bill in my name, right? And I'm on my own for the first time, big city living. And, yeah, that, I guess that newfound independence definitely fueled this, I mean, that a new thing, but it kind of helped me, it kind of made me realize that there was more to me than just what was going on at the time in St. Louis.
Mm-hmm.
I learned a lot about myself. So yeah, I mean, it did help fuel that.
With that in mind, was that, and this is going to be a weird question, but was that the intention all along when you finally decided, I'm going to go on stage and try to be funny for a living, that sort of thing? Was it always your intention to have this kind of style, or did this develop over time?
I think I always liked it. Like, the people that I like, I grew up listening to Bill Cosby and Richard Pryor and, you know, George Carlin, and the sensibilities that I kind of took on were always storytelling and just honesty, and it just kind of grew and grew and grew into now. The hard part is, like, what do I have left? What other deep, dark secrets can I reveal to try to make funny?
So this is going
to
be like Jake Gyllenhaal in Nightcrawler, where you're just pursuing the story, like, yeah. Oh, I got to create the lead now.
And that's something, like, I feel really open to failure. I'm not intimidated by it anymore, because it's like, oh, at worst, I can hopefully get to the point where I'm a good enough comic to where I can talk about this thing on stage, and it'll be worth my time having experienced it.
Have there been times so far where you've caught yourself being too real and you're kind of like, oh, I wish I had that one back?
No.
Oh, good.
I mean, but there's a lot of stuff that people have come up to me like, how do you talk about that on stage? And it's like, I don't know. It helps.
Yeah.
It feels good. It feels so good to just talk about something that nobody else in your city will talk about.
You know, you said something on stage one time with some story, and it was something that I honestly don't remember what it was, but whatever the topic was, it's something that at the time, or that period of time, where if somebody knew that about you, that would have been mortifying beyond belief. But now, as a comedian, it's like, I'm so jealous of you, the fact that you like lived through that.
Yeah.
Like, I found this email from my dad the other day where he was arguing me. He was arguing with me because I live with my girlfriend now in sin.
Oh.
And he sent me this dumb email about why we shouldn't.
Oh.
And I was about to delete it. And then I was like, you know what, though? Like, 10 years from now, I'm going to be so glad I saved this email.
Yeah, yeah.
Kids, here's the thing. Back in my day, we didn't have the internet. And so we didn't have this world of pornography in front of us. And so, and I guess I didn't have any close friends. Because until a very old age, I didn't really know how sex worked exactly.
Sure.
But before I figured out how sex worked, I did indeed make a pornographic comic book.
And oh, beautiful.
Yeah. God, I would pay so much money to have that now.
Oh, man.
I feel like it would be, I feel like I could legitimately sell 50,000 copies of it. Because it's written by an idiot.
Who doesn't know how sex works.
Yeah, it was something that was like, I think the, you know, that, like a dumb shitty movie or TV show where like you cut just as like the lady is like rolling over in bed,
yeah,
or the couple is like rolling off each other, and then one of them is like, oh man, I can't believe I finished 5 times. I think I had the guy saying that.
Oh Jesus.
I did not get it.
I have a distinct,
I also love drawing though.
I have a distinct memory of recording my own erotica on a cassette, like a handheld cassette player.
God bless you for saying erotica.
And then masturbating to that erotica that I put the thing, it was like a handheld tape recorder, right?
Yeah.
And
so David, just want to throw the show away.
No, I wouldn't.
Wait, can we not talk about this? Or is
no, this is
our
leverage.
Sponsor is Charmin.
That's, oh, okay.
No, I'm going to play it.
Of course, please.
So I would record this story, and I would put the tape recorder under my pillow and play it back, and I would masturbate listening to my own voice recanting this.
Do you find that lovers haven't lived up to you?
Why haven't you talked about this on stage yet? You're working on it? You're working it out?
No, I probably should.
Yeah, you fucking should.
I should just go on stage and talk about this. But I remember the story. Mm. I remember the girl it was based on. She's a real living woman now with like kids, like a family.
Gross.
And I defiled her. I thought stockings were sexy for a period.
Hey, sure. Who doesn't?
Right?
Yeah.
So in the story,
they go all the way up.
They were like, you couldn't see the tops of them. I don't know what they're called. You couldn't see the, and I thought the top part was like the sexy part.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Right. Mm. And so in the story,
you're like thigh high stockings.
Yeah,
or whatever.
Yeah. Okay. And so we're at a football game, right? High school football.
Oh, already the most erotic thing in the world.
Turn down the lights here.
Turn off that leg lamp.
Tell the story as if you were telling it to a listener. How about that? David and I disappear we fade into the darkness for a second.
Okay. So we're at a football game. It's Friday night. Everybody's there. And the two of us decide to duck out. We walk through the gates of community members, friends of family, you know, people you see every day. And we walk through the gravel where the upperclassmen park their cars. And the rocks crunch beneath our feet. And step by step, the anticipation builds. We both know what's coming. We see the large flight of concrete steps that lead us up to the baseball diamond. And we decide to go. We ascend the steps. We get to the top. And there we are, the two of us. Right? Moonlight. It's a full moon. Moonlight casts over the pitcher's mound. It's beautiful.
I bet it does.
And we finally get to the top of the stairs, and we're standing there, the two of us, looking out over the high school, which we go to as freshmen. You exhale with a deep sigh, and this is how I thought stockings worked. You rolled your stockings down from underneath skirt.
Like Mama, from Mama's Family.
Yeah, you know, you can just roll them down to make them sexy again.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Right.
Yeah.
You know,
sure.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Now are you there?
Yeah. Okay.
So now we're
we're all here.
I'm real close.
And you unbutton the top button of your blouse. And I see your prematurely developed breasts. Mm. She was busty for a young gal.
Hey. Right? Don't mind us.
Right.
Don't mind us.
And then we walked over to a pavilion. The pavilion we were at just hours earlier, watching other kids play tennis for a grade. Well, we sat there and talked about the future. Our matching gym clothes, blue shorts, white shirt, blue print, with our names scrawled across the middle in a Sharpie. So my last name is Brooks. I made the O's. Little boobs. You like my sense of humor. I have this pavilion sitting on the table, a picnic table. Would just seem better days. Lots of people sat on the table. The wood is rough against your thighs. I concern for splinters. I feel a lot of concern. We stand up. We kiss beneath the pavilion. Our hands exploring each other's bodies. My hands run down your back. Grab hold of your waist. Your pleated skirt blows in the wind. This is really, really creepy. This is getting really creepy.
Yeah. It's not short by any means.
Hold on.
No, have you ever listened like to any?
To my own erotica?
Gosh, I'm going to have to say no on that one.
So the story, we just bang on at a pavilion picnic table. Right, that's how it ends.
I was on a school trip one time in English class because our English teacher had read some book about some guy. Basically, he's like an Eat, Pray, Love situation.
Sure.
Where he's like, my life sucks. I'm going to buy a van, name it Wind Dancer, and go have adventures.
Let's go ball foreigners. Sure.
Yeah. And so this guy, and so we went to a small Texas town, and she was like, Wind Dance your fucking heart out. And so we were supposed to, like, you know, go in little shops or something like that and talk to people. So I went to this one bookstore and I was like talking to the guy, and I'm a high school punk, right?
Sure.
And I know my friends are there, so I'm showing off for my friends, being real sass ass. And they had a romance novel, and I'm like, I'll take this. And the guy's like, you don't seem old enough. I'm like, I'm old enough. Sell it to me. And it was called...
Sell it to me, boy.
It was called The Captain's Tart.
Oh, yeah.
And I read this thing, and it was ridiculous.
Yeah.
Also, kind of a bit of an R fantasy to it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, which was weird. It was written by a lady.
Hmm.
Or
a nom de plume.
A convincing pseudonym, yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, and it was the slowest thing in the world. Also, a lot of talk about someone's manhood.
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah. Member.
Yeah, engorged member.
Swollen, sure. Yeah. Throbbing.
Yeah.
Pulsing.
Yeah.
I'm surprised. I mean, because
thank
you
for sharing. That was great.
Yes, that was great. But I'm surprised you lasted that long. Like, did you ever catch yourself like, oh, damn it, we haven't even gotten to the pavilion yet, and I'm already
finished. I mean, like, anticipation is the most powerful aphrodisiac.
Nope. Pussy.
Wow.
Sorry.
Wasn't this
that felt amazing.
PWC over here. Pussy wrecking crew.
Well, when you don't get that for so long,
yeah,
you have to find other things that that get you going.
You know, it's funny. There's a period in my life when I was just the world's biggest liar. Like, if there is anything that I could have lied about, that I would, like, you know, in this, I was really young though. I was like fourth through sixth grade. And I was talking to some people in a stag one time about this movie I'd made up. Cause I had this friend that, you know, like, his parents let him see all these R-rated movies, and I had seen zero R-rated yeah. movies. And so they'd be like, oh man, I saw like, you know, and as a little kid, I was like obsessed with these horror movies. Like, I would just walk in the video store past the horror aisle looking at the boxes of, like, you know, the disembodied heads and, like, the teenager about to get, like, knifed.
Yeah.
Or, like, you know, Freddy's Claw about to, like, come down on some sniz or something like that. And I'd be like, whoa. And like, so they talk about seeing these movies, which is, it's funny because now I'm like, man, gross. But they talk about seeing these movies, and I'd be like, oh, yeah, I saw this movie. And, like, I was like, yeah, it's this movie, and this girl gets, like, a sword to the boobs, and you, like, you see your bare breasts, and, like, all these weird little kid lies. And they're like, oh yeah, my little kid friends were like, oh yeah, what's the name of the movie? And I came up with a name for the movie
on the spot.
Yeah. And I told this when I told this to David and everyone else, it was hard to say it.
Yeah,
which is weird because now it's like, you know, it holds no power. And it was weird that, like, once I said it, it was fine, but even admitting it to everyone at that time was hard. The name of the movie was Are You Kidding? It's Karate.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's what I thought that a movie would be called. But now it's like, you know, who cares? It's like, you know, kind of hits with a dud.
Yeah.
But at the first time I said it was like, I was like, so the name of the movie was, and then it took me another minute before I could spit it out.
There's some things where, like, admitting these minute details, like, hurt so bad.
Mm-hmm.
But once you get it out, it's revelatory, and
yeah,
this is a freeing thing,
especially since you're such a distance away from it, where it's like, oh, I've been holding on to this silly thing for years, now I don't have to hold
exactly,
on to it.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. And it really, I mean, you talk about how comedy is your therapy, and I don't mean that in, like, sort of a flip way, but you talked about how, like, you know, you used to take a certain medication that you don't have to take anymore.
Yeah.
Because you felt like once you start doing stand up, that that got leveled out.
Yeah, absolutely it did.
Comedy for me, at least, it was never really about that. It was more just like a creative pursuit or something. And I feel like it comes through in my stand up, where I do talk about myself and my own sort of foibles, but I still feel like my act is I just called it my act. I still feel like I'm relatively impersonal.
Yeah.
And I feel like I am, if I come across anything, it's maybe I don't spend a lot of time thinking about this, to be honest with you. But maybe I'm just like I feel like I'm friendly.
Oh, sure.
On stage and everything like that. But I wonder if after an Aaron Brooks set, and I'm like, I got a good read on this Aaron Brooks guy. And I feel like that kind of honesty, you know, when you're not doing it like a smug way. There's this guy I opened for, and he was talking about this story. And it was like a story that, like, you know, most people would be, you know, like, ooh, this is some dirty, dark stuff. I don't want to get this out there. But he's kind of doing it in a smug way, to where you're like, man, whatever. But I feel like after an Aaron Brooks set, like, you're so honest that people are drawn into it.
I have people when I tell that story about the fake ex-girlfriend,
yeah,
I have people maybe once every other show. Every time I do that, people come up to me like, hey, when I was 14, because that's the whole thing is set up is like, I was this 14-year-old kid in a new school who didn't know how to make friends. Mm-hmm. So I made up this bullshit lie in an effort to get people to be emotionally invested in me. And my lie was this horrific thing that just, it was dumb. And I have a lot of people who come up to me and say, hey, this was my thing. And it's never as bad as what mine was.
Yeah.
It's really weird how people latch onto that and they feel compelled to like, oh, I identify with you. Let's share war stories about the stupid shit we've done.
How do you feel about like when people after your set will kind of confide in you? I mean, are you okay with that or does it weird you out?
I love it. Yeah. I think it's, I mean, because then it means, oh, I've made some kind of a weird connection with this person. Mm-hmm. And there have been people who after that Facebook me, were on Twitter and like come see shows. Like I did a show at Sure Thing where I called this girl I was seeing from the stage and we had planned to meet up in Tulsa that night. Like I was going to leave after working from 6 a.m. to 2:30. I was going to leave straight from the show that ends at 10 o'clock, drive to Tulsa, just bang in a hotel room for a couple of days. So I called her. I was talking about it and I called her from stage and I was like, she admitted it. She's like, hey, this is what we're doing. And I've had multiple people from that show online, in person, say, what happened to that girl from Oklahoma? And it's like, oh, she's now my girlfriend. But it's like, I've had like so many people, I mean, I say so many, but you know, more than normal amount of people have come up to me. Like I did Punch and I was like, what do you guys want to talk about? And somebody's like, what happened to the Oklahoma girl? It's like a totally different show. So now I have to set it up. And
yeah,
so it's, but people, when you do something weird and like personal like that, I think people latch onto it. Mm-hmm. It feels good to talk about it with, like, one-on-one with another human being.
Yeah. But at the same time, like, you did a show, and you were talking about your current girlfriend. The first time you guys boned.
Yeah.
And I know the details of that.
Yeah.
And I feel weird about that.
I don't.
I know you don't.
Yeah, I don't.
Does she?
Chronic overshare, Aaron Brooks. persistent overshare.
she does not, because I told her up front, like, look, whatever happens, like, I'm going to talk about it, just because that's... For me, that's just, it's not like I need to tell somebody. It's like, oh, how can I make this funny?
Right.
And she's okay with it.
Okay.
You don't seem like a monster. So, I mean, is it literally like, like everything I can talk about, everything? Or is it something where you like, I know there's some things that happen I'm not going to talk about on stage.
There's not a single thing in my life I won't talk about.
So you would talk about the details of your girlfriend's vagina on stage.
Sure.
Okay. That's gross. You're a weirdo.
I mean, and that's there are things that I was reticent to share before that I have since, and things I never thought I would talk about. Like there were like a couple little things where it's like, okay, that's you just can't talk about it. But then once you do, it's like, oh, this is okay now.
Was there a flipping of a switch mentally in your head where it was like, no, I'm going to talk about this?
Yeah, like every time it happens to me, it happens at Holy Mountain, it seems like. Every time I've done that show, it's a weird crowd and there's like 10 people there.
RIP that show.
Is it done?
Yeah.
Oh, that's a bummer.
Is it really?
I had one of my favorite sets I've ever had in my entire life there.
I've heard about that set and it was amazing, but every time I did that show, it was terrible.
Yeah, I've had a couple.
I love Ryan County, but it was real bad.
I've had a couple like really, really meaningful sets there. And,
What spurred that on? I mean, was it just, oh, there's 10 people half paying attention to me, I've got something for them, or?
Yeah, it's one of those weird, it's sort of a challenge of like, how are you going to get these people to make attention? And how are you getting these people to make attention? How are you going to pay attention to you? And, oh, let's just confide in them.
Yeah.
Let's turn this into confessional. And how fucked up can we get and still make it funny to where they're still invested?
Mm-hmm. Well, I feel like you are the... And this is... I feel like you is a weird way to start a sentence. So if I'm wrong, let me know. Or if I'm just oversimplifying things. But I feel like you're the kind of person that wouldn't... I guess my fear with the being super honest on stage is you would say something on stage you wouldn't say to your girlfriend. Like, I feel like there are comedians or people that get on stage and like, yeah, so my bitch girlfriend did this. And like, I was like, did you clear that with her? Like,
yeah.
Why don't you tell her first and then tell us? Do you see what I'm getting at with
that? I think because I'm just that person. I mean, you and I spent a long time in a car together. You know, we went to Denver and back, and there was
you bet your ass we did.
Yeah.
Denver is what we call the butt.
I think we
came back.
Oh, from the butt. You fucking idiot.
Continue, Aaron.
Yes.
I think I'm that person off stage too. And it's not like this veiled thing. It's who I am. And I'm willing to, whatever I'm willing to, I mean, it's just me talking.
Mm-hmm.
Have you had like friends or family see you perform?
Yeah.
And what was their reaction?
My mom gets a kick out of it. Like my grandpa heard me say fuck for the first time in my life and thought it was the funniest fucking thing.
Yeah.
And everybody's usually like really cool about it.
Oh, that's good. Yeah.
I come from like my family's real weird, mm-hmm. and they're super supportive. Like my mom and my brother and my sister, super incredibly supportive people. And they're really on board with the whole idea of trying to give comedy a shot.
Yeah.
So they're cool.
Did you expect them to be cool with it, or was that a pleasant surprise?
No, I thought they'd be cool with it. My mom was a theater nerd in high school.
Okay.
And she's the funniest person I know. I get it from her. And my brother and sister we've always been kind of weird. So it just seemed natural to do it.
That's
they're cool with it.
Yeah. That's a good feeling. I know the very first stag show I did, my family came up from Houston to come see it.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, I mean, if you've seen a stag show, it can get blue.
Sure.
And so I was a little worried because my mom hates cursing. Like, she does not like it in her ears. And so, I did the show, and then afterwards I was kind of touching base with them. And they all loved it. But then my brother kind of pulls me aside and is like, yeah, it was weird to see how hard mom laughed at a blowjob joke. Yeah. It's like, oh, learned a lot about her that night. Yeah. It's like, no, I don't want that now.
But it's weird now. Like, I feel like doing stand-up and having my mom, like, I don't run bits by my mom, but like, I talk about my dad a lot, and she wants to know. My mom's curious about my comedy, which is really cool. And I'll talk about like having sex with my girlfriend, and I'll say, yeah, I'm doing this joke about having sex with Kathy. And she'll like, oh, okay. And like, she sees it from a different point of view than like a mom viewing it.
Okay.
But it's really weird. Like, it's real weird to see your mom laugh at a joke about cum. And it's like, oh, my mom knows all about that.
You just don't hear like in the back of the room, like, that's so true. Like, oh, God damn it.
But I feel like now like that I've gotten older, she's more compelled to share that kind of stuff with me. Like, we were talking like with when I got together with my girlfriend. She's like, do you have a really sex drive, like a really high sex drive like I do? And it's like, oh, Jesus, mom. Like, why? Please don't share those things with me.
Wow.
That's fucking horrifying.
Why did you disappear for a while? I feel like if my mom said that to me, I would be blasted into limbo or something. Like, or like the Phantom Zone or something like that.
I have another weird story about finding a love letter that...
So, good show, David. Moving on. Oh, no, I'm just...
No, of course.
Yeah, let's hear it.
The only guy my mom ever dated after my dad left, he was his pastor. He was this great... A great human being.
Oh, I thought you were going to say lay.
well.
No!
I found this love. I was snooping around like kids do, and I found... Did you guys snoop through your parents' shit, by the way, or am I just a weirdo?
I snooped through my...
I'm not allowed to say.
Oh. I totally found some condoms in my dad's drawer.
Oh, what?
And that was a weird moment.
Yeah.
I found this letter that this guy had written my mom, and one of the lines was like, I love being inside of you. And it was real weird as like a 10, 11 year old kid, and like knowing your mom's getting railed.
But did you know what that meant at 10, 11 years old?
Yeah, I mean, I was pretty aware.
I would have thought just like fingers in the mouth. I didn't know. I wasn't savvy at 10 or 11.
I would have been like, he must mean spiritually.
He's a pastor.
Yeah. Well, because contextually, it was like, I love kissing you, I love touching your body, I love being inside of you.
Wow.
I didn't even know what contextually meant at 10 years old. I'm still have a soft grip on it.
I thought the show was sports themed.
It can be.
Why? Did you listen to the last episode?
I listened to one where you guys talk. I heard a Mac Brown thing.
So sure.
I thought it was like a sports thing.
I guess it is called Mascot. Thing. It's just a name.
Yeah.
You know, okay. Like the group, the Beatles, you probably thought was a bug themed music.
Yeah.
Or maybe talking about Jack Kerouac or something.
Yeah.
It's not. They just play whatever.
Yeah. Although if you do want to talk about sports, we can do that for hours.
Check out last episode, that Aaron Foley thing. That was great.
That was a pleasant surprise.
That was so much fun.
Yeah.
But I mean, wait, this is good too. No, this is great.
Yeah, no, I love this.
Thank you. My parents have only seen me do live stuff twice, my dad three times. And basically, like, I know, because my mom also, my parents are pretty conservative, and I know they hate swearing. And it's this weird thing too, where sometimes I think I overassume what they want, because I'm just going to blame it on my Catholic upbringing. I'm going to go ahead and blame my weird guilt about stuff on growing up Catholic. And they, but I know at certain points it's like, okay, but my parents also, when I tell them about anything I do, they're like, wow, like, look out, Doc Hollywood here rolling in. Not the gunfighter, but the honorary Doctor of Hollywood. What?
You're thinking of Doc Holliday.
Yeah.
I think you mean Michael J. Fox.
Nope, I don't know what I mean.
Okay.
Doc Holliday.
You're wrong, David. I don't know what I mean.
I gave you too much credit.
Not the gunslinger Doc Holliday, just the man who takes care of all of the...
Exactly.
Christmas and Easter.
I meant web slinger, like the Hollywood actor, Spider-Man.
Yes.
Mark Spider-Man. So... we did a pancake show, a master pancake show, with Bill Pullman, the actor Bill Pullman.
Oh man!
And so I invited my parents to that because I was like, well, "This will, you know, knock their socks off." And
Bill Pullman.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Big get.
Yeah.
Look, who do I normally do shows with? You guys.
Was he cool?
He was cool. He was great. He's a little sauce too, which was
good. All right, but saucy Bill Pullman.
He could drink everybody under the table. It was the best.
He was super nice, and he was at one point I went to like an after party, and he was like, "We need to get these people some food, Mac. What do you think? You thinking pizza?" And we had, that was our longest conversation, was about where to get pizza in Austin. So it's not like we're best friends or anything. But the I didn't have a show. I opened for Dennis Miller at Moon Tower, and I was like, "This is something that'll impress my parents. I will invite them up for this." But then one time my dad sneak attacked me. Like I was doing a show in San Antonio, and I think maybe I've talked about this before. I don't know. And so my parents live in SA, and I was like, well, you know, guys, I'm going to be in SA tonight. Let's have dinner first. And so we ate at their favorite restaurant, Logan's Roadhouse. And then afterwards, like, see you later. And my dad's like, you will see me later. I'm coming to the show. And I was like, well, will you now? Or are you now? And I was like, well, look, let me look at my joke. I can't do this one because it mentions... my parents having sex at gunpoint in front of me. And so it was a shitty show, and I had a kind of a lame set. But of course, my dad, still super supportive. One thing I remember from that show, though, is Avery Moore was on it. Avery Moore is delightful. She's a very funny comedian who lives in Austin, used to live in San Antonio. And she had a joke about swallowing cum. And when she did the joke, my dad goes, Jesus Christ! But my dad was also looking at the menu there at that River City Comedy Club, which is not the best club in the world. And but please hire me.
Bridges left and right.
Yeah, there has to be a bridge there first.
It's called the Riverwalk.
Yeah, it's not a bridge. There are bridges over it. And like the drinks there, or they have a shot menu, like on the table, a little plastic stand shot menu. And they have shots called like the blowjob shot or something like that, which, great. You know, why do you, you know, like, do you tell your host to work clean? I don't know. It seems stupid,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Like, I feel like John Taffer from Bar Rescue would be like, you got a shot called the blowjob shot. And they'd be really mad. It's a pretty good Taffer. But my dad was like, yeah, let's see this menu here. Okay. And like, when he saw a blowjob, he was like, blowjob. All right. That's interesting. And like, put it aside. So I'm already like, oh, my parents. But then it's this weird thing where, like, I definitely have stuff online. Like, I got a website with my filth on it, which they can and have checked. Because I remember my dad got mad at me for doing a joke that references John F. Kennedy's corpse. And he was through the roof about that. He was just like, that's, you know, he demanding I take off his YouTube clip. His YouTube clip also talks about, like, fucking another man's wife. It uses a term, the pussy tickle, which I believe David wrote.
Hey, don't do that.
No, it's really funny. It gets a laugh every time.
I know.
Yeah. It's a David contribution. he didn't have any problems with that. He was just like, how dare you?
John F. Kennedy.
He was America's hope died with him.
He was America's greatest Democrat, if there is such a thing.
Yeah, he was. Oh, by the way, my dad was a Democrat that converted. Much like he was a Protestant that converted to a Catholic. He was a Dem and now he's a Republican. And my mom will use that as a ultimate argument settler. They're like, I told you to pick that up. I told you to pick that up. Well, one of us voted for Carter.
Oh.
Yeah. And it's just like, what? Congrats on voting for Reagan.
That's a solid relationship, though, where they could recognize that as a burn. It's like, you know what? You're right, honey. I will take that out.
Yeah, Carter, that guy won the Nobel Peace Prize, not Reagan, who was a genocide in the Central American countries. Yeah, it's been great. Yeah, awesome. So today is an interesting day. I'm very excited today, guys.
Okay.
Because not only is it, well, first of all, I feel physically weird. I've just been kind of sick all day, but I've been able to combat that by being excited about two things. One, it's the start of the NBA season.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which is weird because the Spurs are on top this year.
Yeah.
And it's a weird feeling because I've usually begin the season with cautious optimism. And now I have no idea what to do with myself. I'm like, just don't screw it up.
They're the favorites to win the NBA title.
Yeah.
Odds makers in Vegas.
Yeah, perennial favorites. I don't know why he's fucking doing this right now.
Well, you know, when you get beaten by the Thunder, you think that's how it's going to keep going because they're a young team.
Oh, yeah, I know.
But the other thing today, and this by talking about this means I got to edit this podcast pretty quick. Marvel today made some announcements, Marvel Entertainment, about their upcoming film slate. Did you see this?
I saw a couple snippets of it. I saw a little couple blurbs. Didn't dive into it, but I'm more than willing to.
They announced their movie slate from here until 2019.
Mm-hmm.
And it's got not only Avengers 3, but Avengers 3 and 4. A Captain Marvel movie starring the latest incarnation, Carol Danvers, which is based on an awesome comic book written by Kelly Sue DeConnick. If you like comics, pick it up. The Inhumans is also on there. Black Panther, another Thor. What else? Guardians of the Galaxy 2, and the Captain America movie.
Civil War?
Captain America Civil War,
yeah.
Which and here's the thing, though, and I'm going into it right now. If you had told me as a kid that these movies would be around, I wouldn't have believed you.
Yeah.
Because comic books for a long time was something I didn't talk about in high school. And even though I knew other people liked them, it still even felt weird to talk about it. Because comics are consumed, you know, one-on-one. It's like, I'm reading this comic book. It's not like a movie where you all watch. It's a sort of a communal experience. Or music you can listen to together. It even felt weird, like, just talking about comics out loud because it was a silent hobby. And it's weird now that it's this mainstream.
Yeah.
Like, I saw this, like, weird buff dude at HEB last night wearing a Green Lantern shirt. And I guarantee you, I'd be like, yeah, Green Lantern's like, yeah, he's cool. And I'd be like, oh, were you shocked when he turned into, you know, a parallax after he murdered everyone in Coast City? He'd be like, shut up, fag. Like,
Ryan Reynolds is real buff.
Ryan Reynolds. Exactly. He got that bitch, Scarlett Johansson. She's Black Widow.
Mm-hmm.
Where's that comic book? I'm like, well, that comic they're two different companies, man.
That can't exist, my man.
Yeah. That comic book was written by Mac Blake. Back in
and recorded by Aaron Brooks.
Actually, you know what's funny is I was doing a little, my homemade comics was called Pure Adrenaline. And it was a...
Ooh, that's a good time.
Right? Yeah. I know.
But I misspelled adrenaline.
Like you would back then.
Yeah, though there's an E on the end of it, apparently. but I was like, that's adrenaline. Come on, guys. But so I would write these little issues and I would draw them and I'd put them out to no one. I don't know. I'd just make them. Like in compulsion. And so that porno version of it, that was like issue 5.5. So there was like a storyline where it's like he fights some people and then he hits the showers and they fuck.
Okay.
But once I threw that away, he just hits the showers and then you just see him in the next issue.
Okay.
So for people picking that up from my house later when I die, know that they screwed.
Yeah, we should do that. We should make... Never mind.
No, please. Go ahead.
I will.
Because I've been sitting here thinking, I wonder how much of Are You Kidding? It's Karate does Max still remember, and could we make that movie?
Sword through the boobs?
I just remember...
Exposed breasts.
Like, basically that. It was like violence to expose genitals.
Sure.
And then
with the main purpose to expose somebody's genitals.
Well, it was a lot of, you know, what you think would be the funniest thing in the world when you're a kid, which is getting having somebody get kicked in the balls.
Oh, okay.
Although,
it's great.
Man Getting Hit by Football starring George C. Scott is still one of the best films ever.
Ah, my groin!
Anyway, here's the point. So, well, 2 points. One, but that's sort of the effect of mainstream culture now, is that anything that's at all dangerous at any point, mainstream kind of will draw in a version of that and it becomes like safe. Like I'm sure at some point, like Playboy was like counterculture. And then there was like an episode, there's a TV show called The Playboy Club, lasted for 2 episodes. It's so boring.
Yeah, there's a drink now. You can drink Playboy.
Yeah, yeah. And it's like, you know, I'm sure Slipknot at some point, or like, you know, goth kids or whatever. But now there's like a goth on NCIS or whatever that fucking show
right.
is.
And okay, are we talking about Jag? Not Jag. What's the one with Mark Harmon?
Yeah, NCIS. Yeah,
is that NCIS?
With Pauly Perrette.
Do you guys think she's attractive?
I don't know her that well.
I do.
I can give her a toss. Yeah.
I do. All right, back to
she's got the good stuff kids go for. Yeah, sure.
But here's the weird thing about comic book movies.
Is thank you for that, Aaron.
Because I spent so much time with them growing up, now when they come out, I'm just worried about them.
That they're going to be bad?
Yeah. Like,
and that it's going to ruin like the...
No, because it can't for me. Because I'm an adult enough to, you know, like, I like the things I like. And if something's not perfect, it doesn't ruin it. You know, like...
Or that is, maybe that's going to stop the gravy train? Is that a fear?
That doesn't worry me either. Damn. It's just something where it's like...
I've got an answer I want to fill in.
Yeah, go for it.
Is it going to worry you that, like, people will see this one bad version of a movie and then they'll be like, see, I told you comic books were stupid.
No, because it's something like that where I'm... It's just because I want it to be good.
Okay.
Yeah.
I want, because I feel like ownership over it.
Sure, yeah.
It's like if you, Aaron, were on the Late Show with David Letterman, you know, if let's say you ate a dick on stage, it wouldn't affect me at all, but I would want you to do well.
Yeah.
And I feel that way about these guys.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I hope Cap does good. You know, and it's a weird feeling.
Yeah, I hope the scrappy billion-dollar franchise makes it. Yeah.
It's like, why don't I give a shit? But I'm like, oh, Civil War, I wonder if they're taking on too much. You know, and it's like, oh, I hope it goes well. Like, I remember watching the first Spider-Man movie and coming out of the theater and being like, was that bad? Was that really bad?
Hmm.
And everyone was like, oh, it was fun. I was like, is it? Because, like, every cheesy part of a comic book movie, I feel like hits me three times harder.
Sure.
Because I'm like, God, what are you doing? Like, just, we're showing off for the normies here.
This is your chance in the spotlight.
Yeah, come on. Come on, guys. But then, I don't know. It's whatever.
Well, how do you feel about the slate overall? I mean,
I'm also super excited about it.
Okay, good.
Yeah, like, I don't know, it's crazy. Like, I was talking on stage last night as a jazz cigarette about how I often think about my life viewed through the eyes of 12-year-old me. And just the fact that I can buy any comic books I want to now, kid. And be like, wow, so you go every day? I'm like, nah, like once every 2 months to the comic book store. And they could be like, well, I'm sorry, what?
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, it's like, I've had a lot of sex, little kid. And be like, whoa. But then also like, yeah, you're kind of overweight. You got a dumb beard. Like, look at you like a mug. Like, I'd be worried to be a weird, I'd be so fascinated by it.
Yeah.
I also wish Benjamin Franklin would come to the future so I could punch him in the face.
Oh, for that almanac?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
I don't know. But, I mean, we're almost to the end of phase two of Marvel's dominance plan, apparently.
Oh, yeah. The 2015 Avengers 2 will end phase two.
Yeah.
Go.
What we've seen so far, do you have confidence that they can keep this universe going? Like, I mean...
I'm real curious about that because unlike the comic books where Tony Stark is a drawing that lives forever, isn't Robert Downey Jr. 50?
It's coming up on it, yeah.
But I think it's something where, like, for Avengers, like, 3 and 4, I think they're going to transition to a new team or something like that. And honestly, I'm excited about that because you can do stuff like that where you can't do in the comics.
Right.
How do you feel about the proliferation of comic books in television now? Like, with, Gotham? Do you like Gotham? Have you watched it?
Honestly, I watched 10 minutes of it and I had to turn it off.
I am hooked.
Okay. That's honestly what I wanted. Does it get good later?
I like it a lot.
My Dave Eumann's friend of the show was telling about how he watches it and he feels like the Penguin guy is like the best part of the show.
Yeah.
But I watched 10 minutes of it and like a young Commissioner Gordon, not yet Commissioner, James Gordon, is like talking to Bruce Wayne after his parents died and he said something like, I was right there with you, Bruce. My parents were also murdered. Hold on to the light. And I was like, fuck you. This dialogue's so shitty. Fuck you. And I couldn't take it.
Sure. I mean, there's a couple parts where it's kind of eye rolling, but I think they're doing a good job. But also,
well, I'll check in on season two.
The Flash has a show.
Right.
This is what confuses me.
And Arrow, they're both on CW.
Yeah.
And I'm gonna admit, I like those two.
I hear good things, but there's just something. Again, like if I went back and told my 12-year-old self, like, yeah, there's comic books on TV now. Wow. Are they good? Oh, I haven't seen a fucking second of them.
Yeah, like I watched the original Flash show and I loved it.
Yeah, with Ship.
And but there was like never any supervillains in it because they only had so much, you know, money.
Right.
But the thing that's weird is like, so DC or whatever, Warner Brothers announced their superhero slate. And it was like, so we're coming about with, which I don't know why they're so dumb about stuff. Like so embarrassed of their superheroes.
Yeah.
Like everything's got to be dark. Like, Superman, like, he can't be wearing, like, his Superman outfit because it's embarrassing. It's like, well, people, you know, it lived for this long, buddy. Don't be so embarrassed about it.
And also maybe rethink that movie if you're like, we're begrudgingly putting this out.
Yeah, but anyway, they announced their slate of films, and on one of the slate of films was a Flash movie.
Yeah.
Starring Ezra Miller. And I was like, don't you already have a Flash TV show? Wouldn't it be weird if, HBO, what's an HBO show?
Game of Thrones.
Game of Thrones. What if they announced like a Game of Thrones movie with a new different cast?
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be fucking weird?
Yeah, exactly.
I was like, the way Marvel is doing it where the TV shows tie into it, it's just like, why are you investing all this money in like this, your property and then just, saying fuck it or whatever?
Yeah.
I also don't understand why Warner Brothers let that Gotham show go to Fox. Maybe it's but also it kills me too because there's this comic book series. It's called Gotham Central, written by Greg Rucka and Ed Brubaker, two awesome writers. And it's basically like a police procedural set in Gotham City. Batman shows up like once every five issues. It seems like a no fucking brainer. And so I thought that's what this Gotham was going to be. But then I saw like young Bruce Wayne, and I'm like, man, oh man.
I like it. All right. I'm not as deep into comics as you are. So maybe that's why I like it, is that I'm sort of just naive and like, yeah, this is great. Yeah. It's fun. But it's entertaining.
Are there any points where you like hold it up to like, oh, this shouldn't be canon, or does that even register with you?
No, it's just fun.
Okay.
You know what though? Like that never bothers me. Because I feel like you're doing a disservice to it, like a movie, if you're trying to make a filmed comic book.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like Ang Lee's thing with the panels or whatever, then Ang Lee's Hulk, was weird. It was really weird. And I think it was, honestly, watching it now is kind of interesting. But I was like, make a movie. You're making a movie. Don't pay lip service to fans, because that's the thing. Fans will go see it anyway. They're fucking fans.
Yeah. Yeah, it's the thing we said about Watchmen, where it was like, hey, you could have made this more entertaining.
Yeah, just make a movie. You don't have to adapt the comic book.
More blue dick.
Although, yeah, exactly.
I love that blue dick.
I love how that thing was waggling around. I honestly think the Watchmen, years from now, that movie will be celebrated.
Oh, I think so.
I loved it.
It's so fucking weird.
I'm ready to revisit it.
I really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
They did the Black Freighter as well.
Man, I was at a used movie place the other day. I had a lot of copies of The Tales of the Black Freighter, and I was like, oh, wow, that's right. This
I
was
never
a
saw
thing.
It.
Yeah. See, I watched that part, and comic books as animation doesn't work as much for me like that, because I feel like they were, I don't know, like they're representing a comic book as animation, where it's like, again, make your own thing. So like, yeah, that kind of like canon stuff. It's just that because I like it, I'm less tolerant if it's sucking.
Yeah.
But like, man, you want to change anything? Yeah, go change for it. In fact, I would love that, because I already know this other story.
There's a theory going around that Oswald Cobblepot is actually the Joker.
What?
In Gotham. Yeah.
Because
he looks Jokery. And there's a lot of purples and greens in some of the things that he wears. So there's this theory going around.
Yeah, why not?
It's actually, he's actually the Joker.
It's a twist. Go for it.
Well, here's the thing, though. That show's got some fucking nerve if it tries to pull that off. Like, that's a weird, hey, we're this, on a third network, and we're going to try to add this to the storyline.
Yeah.
I don't care for that.
But also, it's a thing where it's like, you know what my favorite thing about Batman is? Batman.
Yeah.
Like, I have a joke on stage where it's like, that's my criteria for seeing movie. Does it have Batman in it? It does. I'll see it.
Yeah.
Like, so it's like, put Batman in it, and I'd watch that thing in a heartbeat. I watched that Lego movie. That thing was great, by the way.
He's getting his own.
And I'm excited about it.
What?
There's going to be a Lego Batman movie.
Man, this thing. I got to catch up on stuff.
Did you see the Lego movie?
I haven't yet. No.
Dude.
I'm sure. I know.
You know what? It's
entertaining as shit.
Yeah.
The Lego movie is it's a brilliant piece of advertising. Like, because it's this weird holistic approach to where it's like, all right, let's look at everything having to do with Lego. And they managed to turn it into a story. Hats off to those guys. They did it. They managed to make a Lego movie, and the storyline was Lego Bay. It's hard to explain, but they did a great job. Chris Lord and what are their names?
Phil Miller, Chris Lord.
Yeah, there you go. Great, good job, guys.
Yeah.
Oh, what? Go fuck myself. Thank you.
They don't need you.
Yeah, okay. They don't need my approval. They're rolling around in their 2022 Jump Street money.
Yeah.
Man, Aaron Brooks, we had such a good show going. You were kicking ass, and then old Johnny Comic Books here had to turn it into a weird nerd.
Well, we knew where it was going.
Let's get back on track then.
Well, actually, I think it's about time we're
coming up on it. Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Well, hey, you know what? Door's open for you.
Yeah, come back, buddy.
Yeah, seriously.
Yeah, yeah, thanks.
Oh, invite, come on. I don't care for
invite,
this.
Invite,
I don't care
invite
for this.
Me back, okay?
Okay.
I'm not going to barge in. I'm a gentleman.
No, oh, but we will. We'll,
yeah, of course. Invite you back. This was awesome. I love this show.
It was fun.
Yeah. Great.
Thought it was going to be sports talk.
It can be next time.
Well,
bone up.
You got. Well, he doesn't have to bone up. You got, I'm looking at two fans of the old baseball.
Oh, that's right.
Baseball. I'm a big baseball fan.
Lovers, excellent. Lovers of diamonds.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Then, yeah, let's talk hot stove next time you're back.
Let's do it.
All right, so when this comes out, the World Series will probably be over. Anyone feel like the Royals are going to come back?
I hope they do. I fucking hate the Giants.
I got a good feeling about it.
All right. Well,
of course, that is the mascot wedding kiss of death. Yeah.
God damn. I hate the Giants.
Well, we'll see what happens. You, the listener, already know. Exciting. Aaron Brooks, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me.
If people want to know more information about you, where on the internet can they do that?
Funny Brooks on Twitter. I have aaronbrookscomedy.com, and that's my website.
Cool beans. Guys, David Hotta is the host of The Hustle Show, which is the second Thursday of every month, 10 p.m. at Cold Town Theater.
Super fun.
Yep. Right,
thank you. Thanks.
And I co-host a stand-up showcase the second and fourth Monday here in Austin called Jazz Cigarette, the Spider House Ballroom. Check that out if
also
you want to.
Also super fun.
Yeah.
David Hotta, how should we leave the show today?
How should we leave the show today? How about we get trapped in a warehouse?
Okay.
And then we're trying to get our way out. Maybe we start climbing up some boxes.
All right. Hey,
I think there's an exit over here.
Dave, we've been trapped in this warehouse forever.
I know. Look at all this stuff that I'm holding right now.
Yeah, I mean, it seemed like a good idea at the time. All the ski equipment we could steal.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I still got faith that we can get out of here with as much ski equipment as we can hold.
So what are you thinking? Climb these boxes?
I'm thinking climb these boxes.
Okay, yeah, all right, let's go.
Ah, shit. Sorry, I dropped that one.
No, it's fine.
Oh my God. I think it's starting to give way.
Yeah, I know. I'm pushing it, David.
What? Why?
This is all a plan. Die, David, die!
The Tasty Podcast Network at tastypodcast.com.